This is PFW in Progress.
Fuck melanoma. Molly Russell's wart. Not her wart. I'm the wart. She's my tumor. My growth. My pimple. I'm Uncle Wart. Just old Buck Wart Russell. That's what they call me. Melanoma head. They'll call me that.
PFW in Progress.
Don't give me any crap, Maisie.
I'm telling you, you said crap.
There's nothing wrong with crap.
Oh, really? I thought that was a swear.
No, you're thinking of sh**.
With Fred Kirsch.
Forget that we were perfectly happy. So thank them for getting treated like sh**t every day.
I'm telling on that one.
Paul Perillo.
What did you have, a few drinks this morning? Huh? I think you did, didn't you?
In the field of local live home entertainment. Oh, my God! You low-life, lying, four-flushing sack of shit.
And Andy. And Andy.
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
On a rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story. What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
Andy Hart.
You have much more hair on your nose than my dad.
How nice of you to notice.
I'm a kid. That's my job.
Some guy named Tom.
Your girlfriend?
Friend? And yes, she is a girl.
Are you supposed to marry her or something?
The subject has come up, yes, but nothing serious.
Maybe if you got married, you'd stop being such an ass.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Look, I'm just calling to say I miss you. No, I haven't been drinking. I've been thinking a lot about you. What do you think about those two little dimples on your buns? What do we call them? One was on the right was Lyndon and the left was Johnson, I think. No, that was your boobs we did. Oh, your boobs were Minnie and Mickey. I remember that because of Disney World. And Felix. Felix is what we called your...
PFW in Progress.
Take this quarter. Go downtown and have a rat gnaw that thing off your face.
Welcome back. PFW in Progress after a two-week hiatus. Andy Hart, Paul Perillo with you here at Gillette Stadium for another rousing off-season edition.
Can't hear you. Plane flew over.
Wow. Reminiscent of a wedding that I recently attended. What do you think?
That you don't remember?
Oh, I remember it. I absolutely remember it.
Do you remember not being able to speak?
Oh, yes. Very much so.
Do you remember Gary not being able to walk?
That I don't remember. But
Gary's
Tom, obviously,
half-hour quest to find his sports coat, which was on his young girlfriend's shoulders.
Hey, I was in Fishkill, New York. What are you going to do?
Apparently for you, drink. Lots and lots.
Well, Tom obviously is not here. He's enjoying some time off after his wedding. Fred, not exactly sure where he is.
He's
been very busy lately. He's
at a meeting.
He's kind of a big deal. Been very busy lately. Even yesterday, he was not with us in the office for most of the day as he was at various meetings off-site.
Only words I had with him today was when he came to my cube, he said, "Did I give you that power strip back?" "No." "Well, then where is it?" "I have no idea, Fred. You have it." And then he stormed off looking for a power strip.
That's basically the crux. That's the extent of our interaction with Fred Kirsch over the last, month?
Except for one day where it was obvious he had no meetings because he came in, sat down,
was
making fun of people, talking. Other than that, very busy.
He was very funny at the wedding, however, Fred. He brought his fastball to the wedding, as he normally does. But before we get right off the top, got to say,
Vin, where's our food?
Well, no, right off the top, we do want to thank Vinny. He sent an email in saying that he has ordered food for us today. So Andy and I will reap
Except
the benefits.
He said he ordered it an hour ago, and I haven't seen any
food.
Yeah,
we haven't seen it yet, but hopefully that's just
the latency of the internet.
Papagino's being a little bit slow, and hopefully that gets here soon. So we want to thank Vin for that.
I'll hold off on my thanks till I'm chewing.
More importantly, for the loyal listeners of PFW in Progress, Andy, we would be remiss if we didn't mention a couple of things. First, on a sad note, Buck O'Kilroy passed away yesterday at the age of 86. Longtime Patriot, you name it, scout, executive, former NFL player back in the old days with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Subject of an NFL film special.
Yes, so he will be missed. He was still here at the age of 86.
I was going to say, we were talking about it upstairs. For having played in his era of a very difficult game, a very demanding, physically demanding game, to be 86, to still be coming to an NFL stadium and serving as a consultant for the team, guy led a full 86 years.
As recently as a month ago,
right.
He's still coming to the stadium every
good
day.
Life.
Lived a good full life and was revered by everybody. I did not have the pleasure of knowing Bucko. I never, even though he worked here at Gillette Stadium, I never even met the man. But by all accounts and by all the people you talk to about him, just absolutely revered as a wonderful human being. So he will be missed.
And we're going to have something.
Yes. Gordon Forbes, longtime NFL writer, currently working for USA Today. Loyal PFW readers will know that he is a periodic columnist for us. He is going to be putting together an obit for Bucko. He worked together with Bucko years ago on some sort of book that the two of them compiled. So look for that on the website. Maybe late this afternoon, more than likely early tomorrow morning, we'll have some, hopefully, some inside anecdotes from.
I love you, Vin.
Thank you very much, Vin. The food has arrived, judging from Andy's exuberance. But anyway.
Sorry, Bucko.
Look for Gordon Forbes' obit on Patriots.com and as well as in the training camp preview issue of PFW,
yes.
Which will be coming out in 3 weeks.
86. Now, so when was he born?
86 years ago.
And we're in 2007, so 21. I'm always amazed at those because to me it's more amazing than to say he was 86 years old to say he was born in 1921. And you
I
think about, wow,
it.
The Depression.
When
he was like 8
I,
years old,
well,
9 years
I look
old.
At, that's how I look at it. Not so much like when he was born, but I look at it as like,
dude
well,
saw
he
Babe
was,
Ruth play.
He was like an adult in the 40s.
Right.
You know, that's the way, you know, I look at it, you know, he was, not only was he old enough to remember such and such an occasion or an event, but, you know, this is a guy who, he was probably working at whatever, you know, that's the way I look
right,
at those kinds of guys. That blows me away.
Like we joke
like,
when
like
the,
Babe Ruth.
But beyond that, like when we joke, you know, the Patriots winning streak was the best since the,
some random
team.
He may have been able to give you a
right,
logical
like
comparison.
All those records go back to the 30s and, you know, pre-modern NFL, pre-AFL, pre-Patriots, all that. He lived through, that's what I find amazing. They're that old and they remember that kind of stuff.
So Bucko Kilroy, lots of football history there, a lot of NFL history, old NFL history back in the original NFL with the Philadelphia Eagles. So that would be the obviously the negative. The positive would be the reports and
another old guy,
Troy Brown, coming back at not really a surprise. We've been saying it all along. Judging, we've been following Bill Belichick's words, and generally, as I've said many times, Bill does not put himself in a position where his words can be used against him. And Bill specifically said that he expected Troy Brown to have a role with this team, and sure enough, it looks that he's going to. Boston Herald, John Tomasi yesterday reporting that Troy is close to agreeing to terms, according to a league source. So that's good news that he'll be back for a 15th season, Andy. Only Steve Grogan has played more seasons in a Patriots uniform than Troy Brown.
And the thing that I thought was interesting from Tomasi's report was that he had received offers from other teams. So it's not just a case of longtime veteran wants one more year, so it's obvious he stays with the Patriots. People saw what this guy did last year and said he can still be a productive player in the NFL. Other teams willing to give him a chance.
But that's what I think. And I kind of had a little argument with Tom toward the end of the last show that we did 2 weeks ago about that. And I think Tom is kind of forgetting the fact that he caught 43 balls as kind of a secondary guy last year. I think that this is not a charity case with Troy Brown. This is not a sentimental kind of, well, let's just bring him back for the sake of all the good work he's done for us over the years. This is a guy I think is still a viable receiver. I don't think he's capable of being the number one guy and going out and catching 80 or 90 balls anymore. I don't think he would hold up physically, but we see it all the time in training camp, Andy. That guy looks great. Who looks, just flat out, looks the best every year when they're doing those drills? Troy Brown. Hands down, there's no question. Now, maybe with the influx of talent that they have this year, we might watch some of those drills this year in training camp and say, well, geez, Randy Moss or Dante Stallworth or Wes
Welker, I think
one of those guys might look a little bit better.
I think there's only one guy that's got a chance, and it's Moss.
Troy
Based
Brown.
On what I saw in minicamp, Troy Brown goes, in terms of those sort of things, just watching a guy look smooth and do his job, Troy Brown is going to be in the top two in that list.
Just by the eyeball appearance, Troy Brown looks exactly like he did in 99, 2000, 2001, right now.
But
Now, obviously, durability would be a huge issue.
He's durability.
He's not going to be able to hold
big
up.
Big play ability.
Right.
He's not elusive anymore.
He's lost a step, no
but
question.
But I've been on both sides of this. I used to argue with Brian when I said he doesn't have it anymore. Punt returns, he just doesn't have it. He was always a step ahead of the guy's arm to make the tackle. He wasn't a step ahead anymore. He was getting tackled. But I still think, that said, last year I thought he came back and was better in terms of what he'd been for a year or two, battling injuries and different things. So I think he fell off from the height of Troy Brown at some point, you know, 2003. But now he's back to where he's still one of your best options, and to me is an absolute lock to make the roster. Don't even consider it.
I would agree, unless there's some sort of health issue that pops up. But by the, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but by the it, I would say you're talking more along the lines of it being the Troy Brown dynamic playmaker of the past. He's lost that.
Right.
You know, he's not going to, you know, be returning punts, you know, every other week for touchdowns. He's not going to be taking a quick, you know, slant over the middle and making three guys miss and picking up 25 yards. But he's still capable of getting open consistently, making tough catches on third down, and getting first downs. He showed it last year.
And he's still the guy Tom Brady was looking for when he needed to make some plays.
I mean, that's always the thing that I use, the two plays when the season was on the line, Tom Brady against San Diego and again the following week against Indy. Now, you could argue that neither one of those plays was successful.
No,
and you'd be right. Well, but I just thought it was telling that Tom Brady was still looking for Troy Brown.
He needed a play.
When he had
and
to have
he
a play.
Knows better than anyone what Troy's capable of at this point. The guy practices with him, plays with him every day, every week. If he said, you know what, I love Troy, he might have the best hands, but he doesn't give us a chance to make a play here,
right.
I don't think he would be looking for him that much as he did. He was forcing it to Troy Brown because he thought Troy Brown gave his team the best chance to win.
So we're going to have we'll open it up today. Webradio@patriots.com. Again, webradio@patriots.com. Andy and Paul are here. Fred and Tom are not.
Vin is our favorite emailer of the week.
Yeah.
He's tremendous.
We once again want to pay tribute to Vinny. And I'm not sure where Vinny's from. So
he's from the greatest place on earth.
Where's that?
Wherever Vinny's from.
Okay. But we want to pay
tribute
food.
To Vinny. I love him and where he lives.
And thank him for providing us with a lunch today.
We'd also like to thank Papa Gino's for getting back to their traditional recipe with the boneless buffalo fingers, which for a 2 to 3 week span were boneless fire fingers, which were almost unedible. Inedible? Unedible? Inedible. I'm going to go inedible there. And back to the traditional this week. Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
So we're going to have a lot of topics on board. Those are the two main items in terms of being timely with the Buck O'Kilroy passing yesterday and the news that Troy Brown, although not official, I should point that out, not official, and nothing, no word from the team. But
there's
I did
been words from the team all along that they wanted it, you
I
know what I mean?
Say, but it is funny that yesterday, before any of this news broke, I did have a conversation with someone in the organization trying for planning purposes to get something straight for the yearbook of whether or not I should include Troy Brown, and I was kind of led to believe that I would be safe. We had already had a page for Troy Brown set aside, and I was led to believe that I would be safe in doing so. So this certainly comes as no surprise to Andy or me, and shouldn't come really as a surprise to anybody else. But those are the newsworthy items. Been a couple of weeks since we've had a show, Andy. Rodney Harrison, evidently when I was gone on vacation, agreed to take a pay cut.
Essentially, yes.
Which would keep him around. So, I mean, kind of minor things going on. But
what's your take on that?
Well, we'll get to that during the course of the show. But this is sort of really the downtime. I mean, this is the true downtime for the NFL. We see a couple items in the inside track. Bill has been away in Nantucket, actually was on the Vineyard over the weekend, I guess, eating in Oak Bluffs. So, really, if Bill Belichick has taken time away from the stadium, that truly, in my opinion, you know, that shows you that this is the true offseason.
You had Kareem Brown's agent, Peter Schaefer, saying no deals yet, but basically because, you know, all the Patriots are on vacation.
On vacation. So no draft picks signed yet, nothing like that to report. But everything, this just make it a free-for-all show here. Everything is open. Asante Samuel, still no update on his situation. What else we got that we can...
What's today's date?
This is, what, the 11th?
So
is today the 11th?
The 15th is...
I'm getting a nod from Gary.
16th is next Monday, right? The day that... D-Day and the Patriots extension with...
Yes, because of the 15th is generally the day, but that falls on a Sunday, so they get one extra day. If they do not sign a long-term deal before then he cannot sign a long-term deal before the end of the season. So that's the way it goes. Before the end of whatever. I don't know. Is there a window there? I mean, I suppose
the
you
end
can
of the regular season.
Oh, he does have to go the whole regular
the
season.
Final, he cannot before the final regular season game, whatever.
So that's the situation with Asante Samuel. Still really no news there. But we are going to take a quick break, an early break, because
food's here.
Flat out, I'm not going to lie.
We love you, Vin.
We want to enjoy some of Vinny's lunch here, so we'll be back in a moment.
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
The rush got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition goal line guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Ward?
Got to be sacked for the
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points card and free goal line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Ward.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots Extra Points. Because fans want contact, too. Autograph poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. Passionate rivalries, international soccer, the league's biggest stars, and your New England Revolution. It's a summer full of soccer at Gillette Stadium. Be there for the CONCACAF Gold Cup first-round doubleheader and quarterfinal tripleheader that includes the Revs and Columbus Crew, a rematch of the 2006 MLS Cup with the Houston Dynamo. And don't miss the LA Galaxy on August 12th when soccer icon and international superstar David Beckham makes his first trip ever to Foxborough. Taylor Twellman.
Oh, what a strike by Taylor Twellman.
Matt Reese.
Oh, what a save. Are you kidding me?
And the rest of the Revs are turning up the heat this summer, and you won't want to miss a minute of exciting soccer action at Gillette Stadium. Tickets for the Revolution start at just $18 and are on sale now. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your ticks. Get your kicks and get the Revolution. When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
The rush got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition goal line guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Ward?
Got to be sacked for the safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points card and free goal line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Ward.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at Patriots Extra Points.
Back here, DFW in progress, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo with you. Basically, if you listen to that little lead-in to our return from the break, you got the whole gist of the Tom Casale wedding. to make it make the statement that it was the strangest occurrence that I've ever seen at a wedding.
It was a Vince McMahon production.
Yeah, I think would be a drastic understatement. Just to put in perspective, it was an outdoor ceremony. So the plane that Gary keeps playing going overhead happened to coincide with Tom's vows. So all this, the last several weeks where Tom kept telling us, you know, they're all up here and I got this and that's all taken care of, we'll never know if he delivered them.
All we saw was the stereotypical Italian guy waving his arms and talking.
Yep. He was up there, you know, at the ceremony. And
I have a recording of Tom getting together with his cousins that he didn't want to see.
Oh, really?
Hey, Les.
What's up? It's Tom.
Hi, Vince.
It's Tom.
Hi, Dave.
Felipe.
Hi, Xavier.
Hello, Harry.
Hey, Floyd.
What up, Steve-O?
What up, Ken?
How's it going, Jebediah?
It's Tom.
Jebediah.
So we didn't hear anything that Tom said, but more importantly, and Gary, you were part of this. So you have to take some of the blame. I can't
you
even
do.
Take credit. You have to take
I
some of the blame.
I cannot take blame.
You have to take some of the blame.
What was my quote at the wedding?
Well, let me set the stage first. Right? Gary put together a short, sound bites from, you know.
That's a bit.
A small bit that Gary put together, all kinds of sound bites from Tom off of our show here, PFW in Progress.
But with the voice guy. That was new stuff from the voice guy.
Oh, yeah.
So he was in on it. He deserved some of the blame as well.
Yeah, we have to give him a little bit of the blame. Anyway, it was kind of one of those funny things not to be taken seriously. Some people
the wedding or
like
the
this,
bit? Or
some people do the bit. Some people do this stuff at their weddings or whatever, and
marriage.
They have some fun with it. It was basically Tom being his typical self-deprecating self. He was really criticizing himself and calling himself a loser
until the end.
And saying all this stuff. Now, here's where the problem comes. He does this. Okay, it starts off with the announcer boy talking, and he goes through sets the whole stage. And then Gary cleverly, you know, puts all these bits together, you know, Tom's sound bites, and weaves it all through. And it ends with the simply the best song by Tina Turner. And that's what Tom gets
out of the limo.
Now, this is not fans. This is not at the reception where it's all, you know, all the serious stuff, quote unquote, is over. This is the actual ceremony. Before he was married, he pulls up, and again, it was outdoors. He pulls up in a limo, and Tina Turner's blaring over the sound system, simply the best. And out from the limo comes one, Tom Casale.
With his hands raised, pointing to the crowd
his
like Hulk Hogan,
like,
you know, the surprise
me.
Appearance at WrestleMania.
And
coming out of who's in the limo? Oh my God, it's Tom Casale! I can't believe it!
And when Andy says it was a WWF production,
it was
a WWF production in every sense of the word. Tom comes out. We're all looking around. First of all, as this whole thing plays, the whole Patriots contingent, which consisted of Andy, myself, and Gary, Brian Lowe, okay, and Maura, who works up at
the boss
at PFW for the graphics. Oh, and some guy named Fred. Was also there.
And
obviously,
let's be honest, Maura was irrelevant. Her boyfriend was there. He's better.
All of our significant others were there. And all of the Patriots contingent kind of just sat there. I thought it was extremely funny. I was laughing very hard, but with my head down, covering my face because I was ashamed. And just hoping that
at least
no one,
we didn't have any part in it.
And hoping that no one looked at us in any way. And
guy
sure
behind
enough,
the glass made it.
Sure enough, Gary was there, and Gary turned to me, who was sitting right next to me at the time, and said, had I known he was going to play this at the ceremony and not the reception, I wouldn't have done it. And that pretty much summed it all up. It was...
Ignorance is no excuse.
Unbelievably surreal. That
what's yours, then?
That's a good point, G. Anyway, we got tons of emails coming in. There's a lot of leftover stuff because it's been 2 weeks. So there's a lot of leftover emails. I'm going to kind of skip
ahead.
Fans
have been unable to quench their PFW in Progress thirst over the
last
couple
weeks. I'm going to sort of skip ahead to some of the stuff that's come in more recently and then go back if we need them. But again, webradio@patriots.com.
We love you, Vinny.
A special thanks once more to Vinny, who provided us with some pizzas and wings here, which is very good. Plenty of food for two people, too, which is great. Because Gary's on this pseudo-diet.
Although he said, leave some. I might eat it later.
You know, Tom's not here.
Tom's
not here.
Apparently, Gary's like a girl. No one can see him eat.
That's true. Anyway.
Because he's got a baseball game tonight.
You know, Dougie's got a baseball game he's got to get to later.
Gary not going to be happy at the end of this show.
Anyway, let's
get to... Oh, I do
need
to tell one more little...
All right.
Tom
Why don't
Casale
you tell that while
tale.
I have another wing.
Okay. Our regular listeners know the long ongoing issues and jokes we have on the show with Gary's wedding to former intern and underage young lady. She's not really underage, but we play that joke up. And so we're at the cocktail hour having our hors d'oeuvres, and we were kidding around with her, although I've definitely gotten the vibe. She doesn't really care for it. And she did say that, when does this end thing? But she said, I even got carded, to which I said, well, they saw that you were with your dad, so obviously they thought it was okay. Gary, are you okay?
Wait a minute. Actually, she said she didn't.
I mean, she didn't get carded. She really doesn't like
this
it, though,
Andy's,
does she?
She just doesn't like
I'm
you.
I'm going to say something about Tom's wedding and then pats himself on the back because he took a good shot.
Right.
Well, no, I mean, I'm still trying to figure out whether she finds it funny or terrible.
She doesn't like Andy. You can just flat out see that.
Yeah, I could tell.
Take a number.
Hey.
Right. Exactly.
Was she Irish? Oh, interesting. There's a shock.
What does that mean?
Irish. Did you see the way she was drinking at that wedding?
Whew. She was hammered.
Anyway, from now on.
She was gnawing on potatoes later. It was weird.
Note to self, and this is from the guy who once said on this show, I just drink to get drunk. I will never drink again with Gary or Josh. No more. No more. I can't handle it. I'm too old. Anyway, you want to start it off?
Let's do it. Do it.
I got nothing from Gary. He didn't even interrupt his solitaire game for that. Sawyer.
He's prepping mentally for his baseball game.
In
tonight.
Waterloo, Iowa. Yeah, he's trying to pre-think all the
Now he's wishing
sequence.
He hadn't told us he had a game tonight.
Sawyer in Waterloo, Iowa is first up. He says that he's had some extra time to review some of the old shows, to which I'm just shaking my head in disgust. Anyway, here are some of his observations, and this first one is about me that I do not really recall. However, he says that Paul was surprised to have kept Tom Brady as the fourth quarterback back in 2000. I was actually surprised that Michael Bishop was kept that year because I didn't think that he would be a Belichick kind of guy, and I was very surprised that not only Belichick kept him, but he found a role for him. And bringing him in periodically on third down, short yardage situations, to which, by the way, it never worked.
Didn't he also bring him in to throw Hail Marys?
He threw a Hail Mary that did work against Indianapolis at the end of a half once, yes.
Did he do it a couple times, though?
Yeah, the other time was failed miserably. He threw a wounded duck about 20 yards against Miami in the last game of the year.
And 1-for-2 is not bad.
Well, I mean, 1-for-2, if you actually throw the ball to the end zone, isn't bad. But the other one didn't make the 20-yard line.
Sure, like you.
Which was embarrassing. I never threw a duck like that. I used to throw a good-looking ball. Just never got where it was supposed to go.
You got a game tonight, too?
Anyway, number two. These are Sawyer's observations from past shows. Tom,
by the way, he went all the way back to 2000?
Evidently. Tom wouldn't
In two
touch...
weeks? What?
It's interesting that you say that, because I'm not so sure we had a show in 2000. Gary, when did the show start? Wasn't it 01?
I'm not really sure. No, it was before that. It was before that.
You sure?
It also could have been.
We were in here.
It was Walpole Park, definitely, but I thought it was 01.
But it also could have been, maybe you said something on a later show. It didn't necessarily
have
to be.
Anyway, this one, I like this one because it's not about me. Tom wouldn't touch a trade for Randy Moss with a 10-foot pole.
He said that?
Evidently.
Huh, interesting. Flip-flopping Casale.
Flip-flop Casale, much like his stance on Wes Welker that he blames on you and I. Anyway, three, Lori did actually stop by once in the past, but Andy's childish comments drove her away.
That's not true.
That's true.
That is not true.
And four, and my favorite, Fred making crazy statements is not a new concept.
Hell no.
All right. He says, also, how did you guys make it through the kicking duel last year without Eric on the show? I don't know if you heard, but he kicked and punted for an extinct 1AA school. I am sure you guys have covered the Rodney pay cut, but let me say that he is my favorite player, and if I have a son someday, I would love to see him play like Rodney. He will knock your head off, help you up, and pat you on the butt, then knock your head off again. He plays real football, not two-hand touch football like the league wants to go to. You guys talked about hosting a Super Bowl. My idea is that if a team wins the Super Bowl, they get to host, say, 5 years later. And don't say the weather should matter, because look at Miami last year. Maybe the weather could help get real fans to the game, not just the highest bidders. If you wait 5 years, you have a chance to host the game, a game you're in, but the free agent odds are against that. And he also says he's a guy who's interested in the fantasy league, the one that we have not put together. So what do you think?
That thing we threw out at the end of a show that people are now interested in.
Well, it was someone. It was an emailer that threw it.
No, I know, but I'm guessing that Fred, nor you nor I, has taken any steps since that time to set up a fantasy league.
I don't care. I'm not playing fantasy football.
Should.
Well, go ahead.
I think it would be fun. The point would be we'd all do it. Fred would have a team, you'd, and then people would compete with us.
But then you guys would just get mad at me because I don't make moves.
I wouldn't get mad at you. I couldn't care less what you do.
All right. What's that so funny? You got something to add there?
That was a personal email.
Oh, good. Oh, I know that. I know who it was from then, right? Yeah, okay. Anyway, what do you think of the idea?
She listens to the show live? Oops.
What do you think she
Keep
hates
that in
you?
Mind.
Why do you think she hates you?
I thought because Gary told her things, and you know how when you tell a story, you
Go
spin
ahead and read it.
I'm fine with Andy. That comes from Kylie.
Kylie, I know the truth.
Written on her LeapFrog computer.
I'm not really laughing, Kylie. It just sounds like I am.
Good.
All right, so...
You haven't really talked about the Rodney thing, so...
Well, we just did mention that he took a pay cut. I mean, is there anything else to talk about?
Well, a lot of people questioned whether there was anything that could be read into it, because it's kind of random when a team is, $7 million under the cap to just say, you know what, we're cutting your salary, buddy.
I don't really... Well, part of it is that this happened, I wasn't here, and I don't really know a whole lot about it.
Basically, a team that's well under the cap and doesn't need money told a veteran player...
Are they well under the cap?
Yes.
What's well under the cap? Because single digits, millions not well under, in my opinion.
Point, to have $8 million or whatever it
that's
is?
That's counting draft picks, I would assume. See, that's why I don't really know all the information.
I believe that's counting draft picks. I believe that it's like 3 point something for their rookie pool.
Yeah, no, I think it's a little odd. Don't get me wrong. Usually you wouldn't
And to only save $500,000 or whatever it was, too.
I think
cut that you don't need to save a little bit of money.
I think that, in general, asking someone to take a pay cut, period, when you don't really need to, is a little odd.
So, fill in the next.
I don't know. I don't know what to read into it, though.
We read into two possibilities.
Well, I mean, I would say that Rodney's... Let's face it, Rodney's at the end of the line here.
Well, the Rodney side is obvious. He sees that he's close to the end of the line. His best chance to win, have success, is in New England this year, rather than to take his ego and go on the open market and land somewhere for a year and maybe make a little bit more money, whatever. I mean, it's obvious the most comfortable, best situation for him is right where he is. That's obvious why he would do it. But on the other side of the coin is why the Patriots would ask him to do it. And playing our little speculation game, you know, you throw things out there and see what sticks. First of all, we discussed the fact that if they signed Asante Samuel to a long-term deal, his cap number would likely go down unless they looked at their cap situation and said, we can give him a large roster bonus for this year and, you know, decrease the cap figures moving forward. So, you know, we brought up the Antoine Winfield a few years back when he went to Minnesota, and they gave him whatever it was, a $10 million roster bonus to get it out of the way so they wouldn't have to have any money on the books moving forward, was one idea we threw out there. The other was, could they be in line to do something with Ty Warren or one of their other up-and-coming young players that they'd like to sign long-term?
Well, I have to think that the latter part of that is probably accurate. They do have some young guys that are nearing that stage where it's probably a concern on the part of Bill and Scott and the other decision makers how we're going to get these guys re-upped. And, you know, Wilfork, Warren, you know, you can't just wait. It's a different landscape now with the additions of the salary cap. And the increases that have happening the last couple of years, it's going up, I think, to something like 116, I think, next year it's projected as. The numbers are bigger. It's tougher to wait. These guys aren't waiting until they actually hit unrestricted free agency anymore. Seymour didn't wait. Branch didn't wait. You know, who's to say Warren's going to wait all the way until his contract expires? Who's to say Wilfork is going to wait all the way And there were some other younger guys like
an immediate
that.
One, Eugene Wilson. This is a contract
Wilson
year.
Is a contract year. So,
but if they wanted to sign him up now.
So it would be interesting to see. I think you're probably onto something there. You know, like they did with Copen last year, do you try to, you know, head it off at the pass and take care of a guy? You usually save money doing it that way.
Oh, yeah.
If you know, like that, you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about the whole Nathan Vasher situation in Chicago. People try to say, see, that's all that Asante's worth because he's the same player. I agree he's a very similar player, but he's in a much better bargaining position than Vasher was as a restricted free agent, not an unrestricted one. So there's a big difference there. I don't really want to read too much more into
the Rodney
situation.
Do you think there has to be a reason?
I would think, yeah. I don't think they do things for no reason, do you?
I wouldn't think, especially to Rodney Harrison. I mean, he's a guy that has felt underpaid for a few years.
Well, that's why I
he's
was a
guy similar to, say, a Bobby Hamilton, who they just went to and gave a little bump in pay. So to actually go to him and ask for some money back to me, you'd think there has to be some reason.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday in the office. My initial reaction was it really a pay cut? Because I'm always – everybody – all fans use the word pay cut for everything involving a
right.
contract situation, where, in fact, 75% or more of the time, it's not a pay cut, it's a restructure.
Right. And it benefits the player as much or more than the team.
Yeah, this would certainly seem to be a clear-cut pay cut.
Yeah, we never know for sure until you see the actual documents in front of you.
And we don't. And right. we don't see the actual documents. So
not too many people do.
No. So that's the Rodney situation. Clearly, this is the end of the line for him. I think that he, like you said, Andy, we often joke around about, you know, how the Patriots fans all say, why would they sign anywhere else? Why not come to New England if they have a chance to win the ring? Well, this year, that line of thinking is very, very viable because this team is stacked at almost every position, and everybody and their brother is picking the Patriots to win the Super Bowl. I certainly think that if you go to New England, you have at least as good, if not, my opinion, better chance of getting to the Super Bowl than anybody else does. So, Rodney, stay here. Why bother getting all bitter at the end of your career like this? You've made a good living.
Plus, you're madly in love with him.
Well, he's the best. What are you going to do? He's the best. If he only could avoid the chippiness on the field, he would vault.
He wouldn't be Rodney.
He would vault.
That's what I was going to say when Sawyer was talking about how, you know, he plays the game, not this powder
right.
puff. I'm sure Buck O'Kilroy enjoyed watching Rodney Harrison play.
What's up, Paul Perillo?
Nothing much, Rodney. I'll hook up with you later at training camp, though.
He's still here.
Huh?
Mm.
If he's still here.
They're cutting pay. Now maybe they were thinking about cutting him.
All right, let's move on to Justin in Alaska. Who's
Justin.
Sorry to hear about the Kilroy passing. I don't think he served too long under the Kraft, but he was a long-time Pats exec. He actually was here.
He's been here all the time.
Throughout the Kraft era. Obviously, in varying degrees
right.
of productivity and responsibilities, but he's been part of the organization
for the entire craft.
All the way through till his passing. Hanging Chad, please tell me that we aren't seriously considering Chad Brown. Unless Paul has invented some time machine to get Chad circa 1998, where he had like 120-some-odd tackles, do you guys think we will sign him?
No.
No. Andy and I both agree that we don't think that he will sign. I thought that story was very strange.
Yes.
Truthfully, it said, the agent flat out said, we haven't talked to the Patriots in over 2 weeks.
I'm sure he's on one of their lists.
Yeah.
The
if seven
desperation
guys get hurt,
lists
we'll call
and,
you.
And yeah, if they really needed it. But that's why they would check in with him to see, you know, when you're updating that list and you have a guy like Chad Brown.
Right.
You got to see if he still wants to play in the NFL. If you called him in October, would he say, well, I don't play anymore.
I'm not interested.
Right.
Yeah.
You just update that to say, are you staying in shape? Have you done it? Like, what have you been up to? That kind of thing.
Okay. He says, Justin continuing here, we will lose one big name player either in camp, preseason, or the day before the opener. What one injury would hurt us the most?
Tom Brady.
And this is the one. No. He doesn't use Brady. They're all newcomers. Moss, Stallworth, Thomas, Welker, or Merriweather. I have my pick that I would have hands
hurt
down.
The most. I would say Adelius Thomas.
Yeah, I that's hands down to me the one that would hurt the most. Because then you're right back where you were last year defensively.
Right.
You're struggling.
All of a sudden say I was a full-time starter again.
And you're struggling to cover those zones in the middle of the field. Finally, predict the following for me, true or false. One, I'll let you do these, Andy. I'll just read them.
Okay, thanks, boss.
Gutierrez will be the third quarterback on the roster for game one.
False.
Due to her inability to understand the ABC gap theory, Mrs. Tom is just in marriage counseling already.
True.
Justice Hairston will make the 54-man roster. It's actually a 53-man roster. Justice Hairston.
I'm going to say no, even if it were a 54-man roster.
Upon completion of Patriot Place, parking and traffic issues will cause all of your swearing to increase sixfold.
True.
I'd have to go with true on that one, too. In 2008, Romeo will be our defensive coordinator after being fired from a 2007 9-7 season.
False. He will be the assistant head coach. Defense.
I would say that if the Cleveland Browns go 9-7,
right,
he won't get fired.
I agree. Now, I don't think they're going to go 9-7.
No. And I think
sounds like they might not have either of their first round picks that everybody was patting them on the back to get.
And they haven't signed in the.
Well, the whole Joe Thomas thing is they don't think it's right to pay a tackle in the third pick, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, the Brady Quinn, oh, he should have been top five pick, blah, blah, blah. So sounds like they could have some issues getting those guys in camp on time, and that'll obviously set back their growth.
All right, let's move on to Russell in Regina. He says, hey, Paul, Andy, King Tom, and Frank.
Tom's not here, and Frank's in a meeting.
Hope you're having a good summer. Nice to see no Patriots showing up in police blotters. It appears Samuel has played his last game for the Patriots.
No.
I like him and would prefer to see him on the team for the long haul, but in reality, I wouldn't want to sacrifice losing Warren and Wilfork down the road over a cornerback. Although I'm confident the Pats front office has the financial plan in place to try and keep the beef up front. I want to state right now that I predict Kelly Washington
will be cut.
Will be the surprise sleeper of all the offseason moves.
Okay, now is he suddenly going to learn how to catch the football? Because we all know that Bill Belichick likes two things in his receivers, and Kelly Washington, I'm not sure, can do either.
Not as bold as a Casale prediction, but a prediction nonetheless. Thanks, guys. Great show. And a shout-out to my bud, Yogi and Lynn, for sending the Pizza Regina Overnight Express.
Whoa. Hey, wow. Now, no one's ever sent us Pizzeria Regina, whatever it's called. Is it Pizzeria Regina? Whoa. We love you, Vin, but you didn't send Pizzeria Regina. That's supposed to be like the best pizza in the world, isn't it?
It's pretty good. I wouldn't say it's the best in the world, but it's pretty good.
Now, is it consistently good because they have multiple outlets, or do you have to go to like an original?
I don't know.
Because I saw they have one in the Providence Place Mall now.
Yeah, I like it.
It's consistently good.
So I can get the pizza I get there will be what you guys are talking about. It's not going to be a dumbed down, not as good version.
Every place I've been, it tastes about the same, although the original in the North End is probably the best.
Yeah, I would agree.
But more importantly, who was that again?
Russell.
Russell, I'm going to pull back because I thought, before I saw him play in minicamp, I would have thought Kelly Washington had a chance to be a sleeper guy.
Stop deleting the emails.
Because I think he's talented and, you know, he's a guy I liked coming out of Tennessee and kind of bought into that he was buried behind the guys in Cincinnati.
I'm intrigued with Kelly Washington's physical ability.
He can't catch the football.
I was not impressed with him in minicamp for what Andy just said. He just did not catch the ball.
I mean, balls were literally flying through his hands and bouncing off his face.
He just didn't catch the ball.
He looked like a little kid. What are you chuckling at in there? 48-year-old minor league baseball player.
As far as the Samuels stuff, Andy, I don't think that Samuels played his last game as a Patriot.
No, I don't either.
And I kind of disagree a little bit. I think cornerbacks are a valuable position.
Oh, I wanted to talk about that. We've discussed this a little bit in the past with the way they've drafted and built this team up front, first-round picks, and saying, you know, you're going to have to sign those guys sort of in consecutive years coming up, Warren and then Wilfork, and you already have Seymour playing under a huge deal, which, oh, by the way, isn't really that long. So when you're signing Wilfork and Warren, the Seymour thing is going to be coming around again. Is there too much invested there? And I know it sounds hard maybe to say that, but are you going to reach a point where you have to say, I need to keep the two best of the three, and I need to allocate some of that money and our resources elsewhere?
I think that could happen. I don't think that the mindset should be that. And I understand what your question is, but I look at it as if I have players that are good enough for the salaries that they're getting, I don't care necessarily that I have too much money invested.
And you don't have a corner.
It's not a quarterback, you know, where, geez, I really think this backup quarterback is really special and I want to give him a little. It's not like I'm wasting money on guys that aren't playing. Three linemen play at once.
No, but
so
I'm saying
I don't necessarily look
in
at
terms
it.
Of re-signing Samuel and allocating X millions of dollars here, and you know there's not enough to go around or whatever.
I don't like the idea of losing a cornerback and saying, well, he's just a cornerback. I don't like that line of thinking. That seems to be what Russell was talking about. But I have no problems whatsoever with the fact that the Patriots have, you know, potentially say 2 years from now or 3 years from now, a lot of money tied up among those three guys up front, as long provided that they're still playing at a high level, because I think they're all very good players.
But could you be better off with Seymour and Wilfork? You let Warren go, and you have Mike Wright and Jarvis Green splitting time, and you know one of these other guys develops, and you have sort of
that's
young rotation, and that $15 million that would have gone to Ty Warren is invested in Eugene Wilson and Asante Samuel or somebody.
It's a good question. The only way, I mean, obviously they're the only ones that have the answers, but it comes down to your player evaluations and your in-house scouting, because if you do that and you say, well, we like Warren, and you know, let's just say Warren's the guy to go. Just pick Warren. We liked him. We thought he was productive, but we just can't afford to lose Samuel at his expense. Well, if Warren's a better player than Samuel, I don't think you did a good thing.
But it's also one of those situations where,
because I don't think that Mike Wright or Jarvis Green has you anywhere near the level.
But is Mike Wright or Jarvis Green better than Randall Gay or whoever you might start at corner? You got to compare sort of the whole scheme.
Well, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But I think that's a dangerous way to do business. If you know that your guy is good, and you're keeping a guy who you don't think is as good because you're trying to balance it. I understand what your point is. Believe me,
and is Ty Warren good, or does he play opposite Richard Seymour?
Well, I think he's pretty good. Don't you?
I do, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, we could say that about everything.
I really don't.
We're all just throwing our opinions out. But
having talked to him,
a pretty good player.
He thinks Richard Seymour is phenomenal. And he's admitted how much easier life is playing across from Richard Seymour.
Sometimes it's hard for me to say
I'm willing to give him X million dollars to be Robin and not Batman. Batman's the star here.
Well, I will say this. We're talking about predictions and Casale or whatever. I don't think there's any way that both Warren and Wilfork are re-upped. I don't think there's any way. I mean, I could be wrong on that. I think the Patriots probably want to do that.
What about you re-up both them and let the Seymour deal run out? Because
that's
3 years away.
Yeah.
That's when you have to re-sign Wilfork.
So you'll have all three of those guys under contract on big money deals at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
For 1 year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't see that happening. And I think that Wilfork and or Warren, you know, and again, this is just my opinion. I don't want anybody saying that I'm putting words in anyone's mouth.
That's what you do.
I think that those guys are going to look to explore their options when they get the opportunity. I think that, you know, we talk about this stuff all the time. I think that players are right to do that. They only have a certain amount of time, a very short window of earning time. And, you know, look, if the Patriots are willing to do a Seymour deal with Warren and Wilfork, then I could see them both re-signing here. But I'm going to be surprised if they get that kind of money before they're up. And if they hit the open market, I think they're gone.
The other question is, I think Ty Warren would have big value on the open market. I wonder how teams look at Wilfork.
I agree with you. Wilfork might be he might be pigeonholed into a select few amount of teams that
right.
play that style. Because not
but
only,
but I think he might be better than that. It's just what he's asked to do here.
Right. I think not only is he, I think he's a specific kind of nose tackle. Not only are there not a lot of 3-4 teams, but I think even within those 3-4 teams, he probably isn't the ideal guy for every one of them.
Well, I don't know about that, because I actually think he's pretty good.
I think he could be
a two-gap nose tackle. I think he could be a one-gap nose tackle.
I
think he's a guy that you could move around a little bit, and I think he could do a lot of that stuff, but I'm not sure what it's hard to say, well, I'm going to give the guy, you know, $16 million signing bonus. He's played nose tackle between two other Pro Bowlers for, you know what I mean? It's hard to project his value.
I think he's an excellent player. I like those three guys a lot. They're three of my, I would say three of the better players, you know, whatever, three of the top 10 players.
On this team?
On the whole team.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I think they're excellent players. I think a lot of them personally, I think they're good people. I think that it's it's rare that you find guys that you have that are that instrumental in your team that I think are also strong character guys. I think a lot of them.
Who stays?
Well, I think Seymour stays, and I think Wilfork stays. I think Warren goes at some point.
I think a nose tackle's too hard to find. You have a young one that you know fits your system, I think you got to sign him.
The only question with that, and we've talked about it a lot on this show, the weight issue. 2 years from now, if he's suddenly, 370.
Nah, 325. He hasn't changed since he got here.
But I'm just saying.
You check the media guide?
Yeah, I saw it.
Hasn't changed.
I saw it.
Did you see his page in the yearbook that we're proofing?
Yeah.
Dude takes up the whole page.
Yeah. I'm just saying, 2 years from now, if he's like tipping the scales at 375, maybe you say, well, geez,
he's going to lose weight?
He's going to eat his way out of the league. He's not worth, coughing up that kind of guaranteed money. But, very speculative. And
How did we get down this?
Well, he was talking about Samuel and the defensive linemen, Warren and Wilfork.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Russell
okay.
was talking about. I just thought that was interesting to kind of – and you brought up the good point about do you feel like you have too much money invested in one area?
Well, I feel like
I think that's a good point.
It's one of those cases. It's similar to the Detroit Lions, except all their guys sucked at receiver.
Yeah.
But you drafted D-line, 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 and they're all good. So you kind of caught yourself in a catch-22 there because you're allocating a big chunk of your cap and resources to the defensive line. Now, if you think that's the most important aspect of your team and you need to be good there and quarterback or whatever, if you rank it right up there, then that's fine. And, maybe Bill says, you know what, I can get Hank Poteet, Ray Mickens, and Chad Scott anytime.
And the other part of that, Andy, is we always say, the nose tackle is too hard to find. But maybe those guys that play end are just as hard to find.
Maybe.
For Bill's purposes.
Nah, I don't think they are.
I don't know. I'm just
Bobby Hamilton types. He wasn't as good,
yeah.
But I think you can get by with Seymour, Wilfork, Hamilton.
Well, that's your argument about, you put Jarvis Green or Mike Wright there, you can get by. And,
right.
Or
Kareem Brown
or
any one
of
these young versatile
guys.
Any of them.
All right, we'll hit one more email before the break.
Yeah.
And Sean McLaughlin will be that email. Hello, guys. Hope the summer is going okay for you. If Tom is there, tell him, welcome to the Fellowship of the Miserable. It's an exclusive club.
He's
Tom
been
is,
miserable for the last however many years he's
married.
Been on this earth.
Yeah, Tom didn't need to get married to become the president of the Miserable. Anyway, camp is 2 weeks away, and now that Troy Brown is back in the fold, it does not take a genius to figure out the battle for training camp is the last three spots for wide receiver. We know Moss, Welker, and Stallworth are locks.
I'd just like to point out, on draft weekend when they traded for Randy Moss, and I said, I'm really looking forward to the training camp battles at receiver, Fred Kirsch goes, what battles?
What battles? Absolutely, I remember it.
And all I hear now is everyone talking about really looking forward to the training camp battles at receiver.
But Fred was being Johnny Literal and saying it's Moss and Stallworth as the starters, so there's no battles.
I think he was being his usual idiotic self.
Yeah, I agree.
And he's not here, so I can say that.
I agree. He says, I know injuries during training camp could change everything, but time is short for the Bam Childresses, Jonathan Smiths, and Kelvin Kites of the world. Do you think the Pats would either trade Caldwell or Gaffney for a low-round draft pick?
Yes, if they could. I mean, if there was an offer out there from a team that needed a receiver, yes, I do.
As much as I've been critical of Caldwell and Gaffney, God, if you can get a fourth-round pick, fifth-round pick, absolutely, why not?
Any day.
They're worth that.
No question.
Both of those guys, well, Caldwell in particular, has proven to be at least an NFL caliber receiver.
As long as he's healthy, he's been a relatively productive NFL receiver.
You could definitely get a fourth round pick for him, in my opinion. Third round, maybe even a third round.
Ooh,
pick.
I don't know about a third, Paul. Getting a little high.
As of today, he caught 60 something balls last year. We paid a second round pick for that.
You would have caught 45.
We paid a second round pick for that.
Who's we?
Patriots.
I didn't know you were a we guy.
I don't know if you know where my check comes from, but. Right out there for
NPS
you.
LLC.
As of today, until I see camp, Washington, Brown, and Gaffney make the last three spots.
As of today, until I see camp, Kelly Washington not one of my guys.
You think Washington's the guy, the lone guy out, and Caldwell and Gaffney both make it?
I think Randy Moss, Dante Stallworth, Wes Welker, and Troy Brown are four locks, barring any injuries or issues.
Agree.
Four locks. So now you have... What, two spots? You're probably going to keep
six?
If you
keep six, you have three for two. I mean, three for two. One guy's out, your guy is Kelly Washington.
Jabbar is the next in line in my route.
Well, that's what he says.
No, I know. Kelly Washington first.
Oh.
Next would be...
Kelly Washington's ability to play special teams may give him a role. He has played special teams in the past. I haven't seen Caldwell or Gaffney do any of that.
Yeah.
you're dealing with a fifth or sixth receiver. You're not necessarily talking about, well, I got to keep Gaffney because he has better hands.
I keep a DB.
Okay, so you're only keeping five? Two of those guys go?
No.
I think that could happen, too,
I cut Washington.
By the way.
And if that happens, then it's Gaffney and Washington.
Okay. I would have Gaffney be my lone guy out. Anyway, there has been a lot of talk of the supplemental draft. Let's cut this off at the pass because you guys know Patriot Nation sometimes gets a little giddy. If, say, the Pats take Paul Oliver Georgia, you know you're going to hear, we got Paul Oliver now. We could let Asante Samuel sit now. We don't need him.
Yeah, you might hear people say that.
Fans, if the Pats do take Paul Oliver, the 2007 Pats need Asante Samuel. Don't kid ourselves. Asante helps the Pats. Oliver, if chosen, will help in 2 years. I think that Sean's right. Sean in Hazleton, PA.
I think he's a very astute emailer. Well done.
I think that's true. I think that Oliver is an intriguing guy. You know, as really all supplemental guys are intriguing.
Right, the big offensive lineman, intriguing.
For whatever reason.
There's 10 guys?
There. Yeah. Did you see the list of the first rounders, past first round? There hasn't been a guy taken in the first round in 15 years. I was reading on Albert Breer's blog about the supplemental draft. There hasn't been a guy chosen in the first round in 15 years. Now, obviously, that's a streak that's going to continue.
Who was that? Maddox? Walsh?
I don't know who the last one was.
The wide receiver?
But
more?
Some of them, year there was three guys taken.
In the first round?
First round, yeah. Tim Rosenbaugh was one.
Ooh.
I can't think of the other ones. But, yeah, Bernie Kosar, Steve Walsh, Rob Moore, the wide receiver for the Jets. Brian Bosworth was a first-round pick. Dave Brown, former quarterback for the Giants. Dave Wilson. So there's been a lot of guys taken. I think there's been a lot of guys taken in the first round. It's like seven or eight. Anyway, that'll put an end to the first half of PFW in Progress. Web radio at patriots.com if you want to join us in the second half. Everything, all topics on the table here at 508-543-7482 if you want to give us a call. Web radio at patriots.com. Back in a minute.
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
Here's a rush, got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition goal line guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren?
Here's got to be sacked for the safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points card and free goal line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots extra points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. Passionate rivalries, international soccer, the league's biggest stars, and your New England Revolution. It's a summer full of soccer at Gillette Stadium. Be there for the CONCACAF Gold Cup first-round doubleheader and quarterfinal tripleheader that includes the Revs and Columbus Crew, a rematch of the 2006 MLS Cup with the Houston Dynamo. And don't miss the LA Galaxy on August 12th when soccer icon and international superstar David Beckham makes his first trip ever to Foxborough. Taylor Twellman.
Goal, what a strike by Taylor Twellman.
Matt Reese.
Oh, what a save. Are you kidding me?
And the rest of the Revs are turning up the heat this summer, and you won't want to miss a minute of exciting soccer action at Gillette Stadium. Tickets for the Revolution start at just $18 and are on sale now. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution. When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and Hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Dumas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. Soccer fans, the two passionate rivalries, international soccer, the league's biggest stars, and your New England Revolution. It's a summer full of soccer at Gillette Stadium. Be there for the CONCACAF Gold Cup first-round doubleheader and quarterfinal tripleheader that includes the Revs and Columbus Crew, a rematch of the 2006 MLS Cup with the Houston Dynamo. And don't miss the LA Galaxy on August 12th when soccer icon and international superstar David Beckham makes his first trip ever to Foxborough. Taylor Twellman.
Oh, what a strike by Taylor Twellman.
Matt Reese.
Oh, what a save. Are you kidding me?
And the rest of the Revs are turning up the heat this summer, and you won't want to miss a minute of exciting soccer action at Gillette Stadium. Tickets for the Revolution start at just $18 and are on sale now. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution.
Back here for the second half, PFW in progress. Andy Hart and Paul Perillo minus Tom Casale and Fred Kirsch. In case you missed the first half of the show, that pretty much summed up Tom Casale's vows at his wedding. His poor bride, Allison, I'll tell you. I already had a tremendous amount of respect for her before I went to this wedding, but now I don't know how he's going to do it, but the big news of the day, I suppose we should relay to
Vinny
from the wedding. I'm talking about.
Oh,
big news from the wedding. Allison surprised Tom with a trip to the Hall of Fame August. The Hall of Fame induction ceremony is where none other than the most overrated wide receiver in the history of the National Football League, Michael Irvin, will be inducted, and that's, you know, Tom's beside himself. He's so excited about it.
I wouldn't put him in Canton.
And he'll be announced by owner Jerry Jones, to which Tom could get thrown out for attacking the stage.
Yeah, that could be a dangerous situation. All right, back to the emails. Andy, what are you doing over there? You trying to learn how to throw a split-finger fastball?
Yeah. What's a cutter? Don't you push down on the inside finger?
Yeah, well, one of them, yeah.
I get a feeling if I tried to throw a cutter, I could kill somebody.
Yeah, I didn't throw any of that stuff.
Seems like it would be a tough pitch to master.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
You didn't have a cutter?
Did you have a fastball? My fastball moved enough that I didn't need to
You were like Julian Tavares?
Yeah. Anyway, let's get
did
back to
the point
emails.
From short to first when the ground ball to short?
No. I was like Julian Tavares, only with better stuff. James is in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina.
That's a good one.
He says there's a little scheduling quirk in play here. He's discovered an interesting scheduling quirk. Patriots play the Colts in Week 7 this year, it will be the first time in the Brady-Belichick era that they have played a defending Super Bowl champion. The last time this happened was in 1999, and that ended a string of five straight seasons of playing the defending champ. I know. The Pats were the defending champs three of those last 7 years.
It's hard to play with yourself.
Well, not for you. But that still leaves four seasons for them to play the defending champs. Their record during that five-year stretch, by the way, 1-4, with the one win coming in 1999 against the John Elway-less Broncos. Yeah, sort of interesting. We haven't played the defending champ. Didn't play Pittsburgh last year. Certainly didn't play Tampa Bay after they won it. They're playing Indianapolis
didn't
this year. What does that mean?
Was that the Ravens the year they won it? They played them? Didn't they play them in 2000?
No, they played 99? The Ravens in 99.
Oh, so it was the year before they won it.
Right.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
All right. Andy is in Southampton, Mass. to tell you guys the truth, I'm not worried much about Samuel's absence. Torrey, James, and Hobbs should be able to do just fine.
Whoa. First of all, based on what I saw at minicamp, Torrey James is not necessarily the penciled-in starter. It would appear Chad Scott was that guy.
I got to think that's Chad Scott's job to lose if Samuel doesn't come
Plus,
back.
Plus, I missed him at some point, but Chad Scott started 9 games last year.
Oh, well, don't forget he played some safety and stuff.
No, I know, but
and they had games
I don't
that
think of him as a guy who started more than half the season.
Yeah, he played a lot of games. He started a lot of games.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The guy was on the roster last year where he started more than half the season. There's probably a pretty good chance he's going to start some games this year.
Yeah, I agree.
And Torrey James, who has a far more impressive resume than I ever knew, is old and new to the system.
Torrey James, in my opinion, and this is probably unfair because it's just a mini camp, and we all know that you can't put a lot of stock in that. It looked a lot like Eric Warfield to me in mini camp. Really?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, I have. No, I just automatically assume the guy who was here, knows the system, and played a lot, has a little bit of a leg up, unless they signed, like,
that said, I like
Nate
Torrey,
Clements.
I like Torrey James. I did get a chance to speak with him. I thought he had the right frame of mind. None of the stuff that Warfield was talking about with the playbook and not getting this and that. He's been here. He went through the program. Even though he's a veteran with a good resume, like Andy pointed out, he was still here in the offseason. So I think that he won't turn out to be the bust that Warfield was, but I would put Chad Scott, probably Randall Gay, too, ahead of them right now. Randall Gay stays healthy,
right,
which is a big if, a huge if. But anyway.
How many people play cornerback this year?
Start?
Yep.
4.
Name them.
Oh, I know. Hobbs, Samuel, Scott, Gay.
Does anybody who is sort of a safety at this point play significant corner? I'm talking Hawkins, Merriweather, Wilson.
What do you mean? Do you mean like Wilson has played cornerback?
No, I mean like starts a game at corner.
I don't think so.
Okay, good. Proceed.
What do you think?
Are you having nose troubles over there?
Yeah. Very itchy. What do you think?
I generally agree with most of what you said.
Okay.
I was just seeing
That's
if you...
That's a first.
Thought I was noticing on the roster, and I don't want to play super fan.
How many
here.
Guys play DB?
Like DB versus safety versus just different things. Like Brandon Merriweather is listed as a safety, not a defensive back. But Eugene Wilson is listed as a defensive back.
And I also thought it was interesting that Artrell Hawkins was listed as a DB.
Right. So I just – and those things, a lot of times, the PR department gets a call from downstairs to change
that.
This.
I agree.
So I was just, I think that could play in some way, on some level, into the whole mix, obviously.
I agree with you. I agree. With the front seven looking to put a whole boatload of pressure on the quarterbacks, the corners and safeties won't have to lock down as much as they might normally have to. Samuel seems to be hanging his hat on those 10 interceptions last year. I can remember a few of them last year where the ball just happened to fall in his lap. I think Samuel is worth about $6 million a year, and he won't be getting much more than that here, in my opinion. That's Andy in Southampton, Mass. I'm not going to get into the kind of player that Samuel is. We've talked about it. I think his skills have been drastically underrated. I think people look at him as a one-year wonder. I don't think that that's the case. I think
he did have
a breakout year. Yes.
I
think he has been building toward that year.
Training camp preview issue from last year when I was doing my stuff for to begin for this year's, and on our list of questions, position battles we're interested in or whatever. Cornerback. First line was, who's number one? Hobbs, Samuel, Gay, look to fill the shoes, blah, 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 something. I was like, interesting. Now
that
he's
was
a franchise
true.
Corner.
But that was true. Because those guys both...
We were still waiting for Ty Law to come back, too.
Right. Hobbs and Gay both... Hobbs and Samuel both laid claim to that
role
to start the year.
I just think it's funny that in a calendar year, essentially, he's gone from, is he a number one corner on the Patriots to... He's a franchise corner who wants Nate Clements' best corner in the league kind of money.
He did.
I just think it's interesting.
That's a fact.
If I went from here to hosting the big show on WEEI and making $1 million a year.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening anytime soon. Vinny, our PFW.
Vinny, we love you. You're the greatest. Where are you from, Vinny?
We are enjoying the lunch. I just to answer that question, he does have... he wanted to continue to talk about the Asante Samuel situation.
Well, then we shall, because what Vinny wants, is it Vin or Vinny?
Vinny.
Vinny gets on this show today. It's all Vinny all the time here at PFW in Progress. Where's he from? Doesn't say? Mm-mm. Okay, good. So we'll continue to talk about the Asante Samuel situation because Vinny wants to.
We think Samuel, by the way, Andy and I have talked about this. We agree at some point in training camp, probably
August 17th.
Earlier than later. Well, August 17th would be after camp.
Oh, August 13th.
You know, maybe he does sit
August
out.
August 13th.
Maybe he does sit out all of camp.
Okay, August 17th.
Maybe he comes back halfway through the preseason, but he does.
Well, that's what
out
I was
kind of
thinking.
You know, that would make sense because then he can skip that training camp nonsense.
Right.
Which, by the way, is why I don't think Vinny Testaverde will be signed.
Right.
Because I don't think he wants any part of training camp. Anyway,
nor should he, because he can do the same thing in November and December with or without participating in late July, early August.
I think in week one, Asante Samuel is in the starting lineup.
I agree.
Is that another prediction?
Pain.
Well done, my friend. Hey, Matt is in Dover, New Hampshire. Matt,
some guy in New Hampshire.
You'll remember Matt is a previous PFW in Progress fan of the week.
I don't recall.
Oh, well, just in case we didn't recall, he is going to make
history.
Make an effort to do it again.
Because he's the greatest.
I feel bad because I said some mean things to Fred last week and tricked him into swearing on the air. So I want to apologize.
I actually have the email right here still.
I just want to
hook,
apologize.
Line and bleep.
I just want to apologize to Jake, he says. I'm sorry.
He says, I hate Jake Steele.
I was just infuriated that you were defending that despicable person, and that would be Gene Upshaw, by the way, who we were talking about the last show.
Well, by the way, Matt, if you're a subscriber, Fred will want you to read Paul Domowich's column in the latest Patriots Football Weekly, where he also defends Gene Upshaw.
You're a Cox subscriber.
Anyway, he'd also like to
think... I don't think they have Cox in New Hampshire.
He'd also like to thank Gary because he's the only one who remembers that I was a former fan of the week. So for both of those reasons, I want to buy you guys lunch again and become the first two-time PFW in Progress fan of the week. If you guys are open next week, I'll grab that spot. Thank you for your enjoyable football talk. And the rest of the show, you guys do great work. That's Matt from Dover, New Hampshire, president of the Paul Perillo Fan Club, and vice president, and treasurer, and secretary, .. When you're the only one, you sort of have to do it all. Everyone else
and
left,
club drunk.
He says everyone else left to go to the Tom Casale's fan club because of the shameless pandering. And I couldn't agree with you more, Matt. And thank you for the kind words. And thank you
for sending
so
us lunch.
For sending it. And we are, in fact, luck may have it, we are open next week. So thank you. That'll be
we look forward to
very,
it.
Very much appreciated lunch
don't
next
forget.
Week. The drunk thing. What is this drunk thing? You're not trying to claim that you weren't drunk at the wedding, right?
No.
Okay. Because you spent 45 minutes in the bathroom.
Well, that was a different issue.
Oh, that had a lot to do with it.
I don't think so. I think it was the chicken.
I did have a conversation
what
with
happened
you
was,
at one point, and you sounded like I sounded.
First of all, I ate did my meal, and then Maura passed me her chicken. And I think that may have put me over the top. I also think I had a couple too many of those
beers?
Palate cleansers? No, the beer definitely did it, but the palate cleansers, those sorbets they passed around.
You had a couple of those?
Yeah. Too many mixings of foods, I think.
All I know is it was 3 days before I could even look at a beer again.
Well, that was Gary's fault.
No question. No question.
And Josh.
But a good time had by all.
And Josh Wilson, the fiance of Maura O'Brien and cooler part of that couple.
No relation to the cornerback out of Maryland that was in the draft this year?
I do not believe so. I'm
maybe
assuming very
cousins,
different.
Cousins, maybe?
I don't think so.
All right. Dave, next up here. 10 weeks of sitting, obviously sticking with the Asante Samuel situation. I keep hearing that Samuel's sitting out until week 10, then suiting up with the patch to secure his, quote, year of service toward retirement benefits. Most of the articles seem to focus on how he'd be handing back about $4 million. What the articles don't seem to talk about is whether he'd be in shape after 10 weeks of sitting or whether he'd be able to quickly adapt to any new changes in the Pats' play calling. I have three quick questions.
One.
First, would you guys have any concerns with Asante's skills after sitting out for 10 games, or should we expect him to instantly pop back into the strong cornerback that we anticipate? We'll do them individually. Andy, why don't you answer?
Yes, I would have some concerns. Fitting in within the secondary. Not so much huffing and puffing because he literally sat out for 10 weeks, but more so just... he wouldn't have all those practices. He wouldn't have the preseason games. He wouldn't even have the early season games because we've seen with this team, offense, defense, it takes a while for units to come together. So I'd have have that concern, just him fitting in within the secondary right. and, you know, being in, quote, mid-season form.
Right. Second, are there any restrictions with him practicing and studying plays and film with the team if he's sitting out until Week 10?
Well, there'd be no restrictions, I don't think, by rule.
Right, but he wouldn't be here.
Right. Because, I mean, it would kind of defeat the purpose.
What I would anticipate, if, and I don't anticipate him doing this, sitting out regular season games, but if he did, I would think that he would just sit there and do whatever he could to possibly keep in the best possible shape that he could. And like Andy said, it wouldn't be football shape because there's no way to simulate that, but there's no way he's coming back day two and pulling a hamstring.
He'll be working out somewhere. You'll hear about Tom Shaw or Jackie Joyner-Kersee or one of those people. And
if he doesn't do that, then he's just completely...
Well, then he's shooting himself in the foot, and he's right. not going to make any money.
Because the only way that this could work for him if he sat out the 10 weeks would be to come back and play at a pretty good level. Now, no one's expecting him to set the world on fire after skipping 10 weeks, but play at a pretty high level and then cash in.
Right.
If he comes back and stumbles all over himself, takes him three more weeks to get, you know, in shape, then what's his bargaining power?
Right.
Almost nothing. So the only way it would work for him is if he kept in the best possible condition. Finally, are the Pats obligated to let Asante sign up at Week 10 under the franchise tag, or can they turn him down if their defense has clicked and he doesn't seem to be worth the extra $4 million for the last few games? Keep up the good work. That's Dave in Alexandria, Virginia.
I do not believe they are obligated. I believe they could pull back the franchise tag offer tender at any time, at which point he'd become a totally unrestricted free agent and would probably sign with a team immediately and help a team.
Do you think there's any chance of that happening?
No. I do not. I don't see any reason why.
It's because not only you could sign him and have the money but not play him, but if you do that, if you don't give him the tender, you don't pay him and let him back, then you lose him for nothing.
The
you
only
get no compensation.
The only, and I just thought of this. The only way I could it would be kind of funny is it would be a very vindictive thing to do because let's be honest, he's not going to get a mega money deal if he goes elsewhere. He might even have to sign a 1-year deal because there's not going to be $22 million signing bonuses being thrown around at that point. I mean, that would be the only way is really just try to put the screws to him. But no, because the bottom line here is, and we've said this 1,000 times, Patriots defense is better with Asante Samuel in uniform and on the field playing than it is without him, regardless
right.
of whether you're playing well at that point or not.
Well, the next email is from Alex in Somerville, Mass.
Alex!
And I have to read this one because the subject line obviously says it all. Paul and Andy were right.
I agree.
What else needs to be said? Well, Gary, can you add anything to that? You're not the best producer in the business, but
I agree.
You still go right back.
See, he went to a sports psychologist who told him you have to visualize success on your over 40 baseball team before you can enjoy success.
Losing is like a disease. As contagious as
he pushed the mic away. He doesn't want to play anymore.
All right. Anyway, Alex, the reason he thinks that we were right has to do with the Gene Upshaw argument from 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Welcome back, folks. I hope you are all doing well. Congratulations to Casale for tricking some woman into marrying him. No lie there, I'll tell you. I can't listen to the show live at work, so I apologize if this topic was discussed already. Your previous show had a fairly lengthy discussion talking about NFLPA union chief Gene Upshaw. Paul and Andy were arguing that Upshaw's compensation was unusually high, with Fred arguing that he was making what was in line with what he's done for the players. There was an article in Monday's Sports Business Journal that discusses his salary and compares it to the other union heads of professional sports. After reading the article, I have to agree with Paul and Andy that Upshaw is unfairly compensated compared to what comparable salaries are for the other professionals in a similar situation. Not only is his base salary twice as much as what the others earn in total salary, but his bonus, which is earned from Players Inc. revenue, a point that Andy continued to harp on 2 weeks ago, is more than what the other union heads earn. This bonus from the Players Inc. money is especially obscene in light of the retired players seeking a percentage from the same pot for themselves. Some numbers below. Salary summary. NFL, Upshaw, total salary, $6.7 million. $4.3 million base, $2.4 million bonus from Players, Inc. NBA, Billy Hunter, $2.1 million. MLB, Donald Fair, $1 million. Same salary every year. NHL, Ted Saskin. That would have been a good trivia question. $2.1 million. I should have read that first and then asked you. Estimated Players Union is registered in Canada for the $2.1 million. Tagliabue earned $10 million in his last year. No record yet for what Goodell will earn. And he actually has a link to the article. And, by the way, Sports Business Journal, pretty reputable.
Very.
Periodical, would you not say?
Very.
So I thank Alex for doing that research that Andy and I were far, far too lazy to do ourselves. just wanted to spout off and say that we were right. But I do, this is kind of what we were talking about. And Andy, you kept bringing up the players portion of that licensing stuff with the Players Inc. And it obviously with the numbers right in front of you in black and white, it makes it a lot easier to articulate. I just think the guy looks out for himself more so than his constituents. Now, look, maybe that makes him a bad guy. Maybe it makes me naive into thinking that that's not the way it works with everybody. But the bottom line here is in base salary alone, he makes two times as much as anybody else that does the same thing in other sports. And don't tell me the NFL players have it better than Major League Baseball or NBA players do.
And the bottom line here is... Tagliabue made $10 million a year?
That's unbelievable.
What does he do? I agree with Barry Bonds the other night when he was talking about Bud Selig. He's the commissioner, and he does whatever commissioners do. What did Paul Tagliabue do?
You asked.
He put cruise control on, put his feet up, and listened to the radio.
Is that rhetorical or not?
I don't know either way.
Because I just, you know what I think.
$10 million.
I think Paul Tagliabue happened to luck into. What's the old line about Billy Martin used to say about George Steinbrenner? Just because you're standing on third doesn't mean you hit a triple.
Yes,
that's Paul Tagliabue.
Billy Martin came up with that.
I know that Martin said it about Steinbrenner. I don't know if that's his line or whatever. But
apparently, we now know what Tagliabue and Upshaw were doing when negotiating in a closed door session, saying, "Can you believe I make that much? Can you believe I make that much?" Just comparing each other's salaries and wowing each other.
What a joke! All that said, the Tagliabue will always hold a place in my heart for slapping Brian Morey around at a press conference here at Gillette Stadium. When he was talking about the HGH, remember that?
Yep.
Anyway, Colin, this is kind of interesting. In Pittstone, England, that's in the UK. Love the show.
Isn't England the UK?
Can't wait till we get back to four times a week, though. Anyway, it's been a nice year. I thought it was about time I got in touch again and ask you some stuff.
Can I rant one quick thing?
Sure.
Just thought up. English people hate the French, right? So I'm sure Colin will be on board with this. Gary, you're a worldly traveler. Do the English hate the French?
I don't believe so, no.
See that idiotic French guy who was trying to row across the ocean and made it an hour and a half off the Cape before he called the Coast Guard?
They had
to bring in search helicopters to pick him up.
And all kinds of money, right?
Why are we paying for some idiotic French guy who clearly was... They find out later the longest he had ever rowed was across a lake before. And he's trying to row 3,000 miles or whatever the hell it is across the ocean. And we're stuck footing the bill. That's ridiculous. I hate the French now, too. Add them to Ireland.
Wow.
England's still cool. And the UK, Paul.
That was a joke, by the way. But you're trying to, that's the second reference. Anyway, what was the first NFL game you actually went to? How old were you? Who did you go with and who won?
My wife. Baltimore Ravens, whatever, last game of the
season. Last game of the 99 season?
Yep, first game I ever went to.
You were working here then. Wasn't that the year you had
2000, Mom? I worked here.
Oh, okay. First NFL
big
game
day for
I
Sean Morey
to,
for any local types.
By the way, that game that you went to, 20-3. Final. Okay. Chad Eaton returned a fumble.
Sat down about the 10-yard line, put one of those foam hats on, Pat Patriot thing. Not Pat Patriot, the Elvis thing. Deidre was embarrassed.
It fit.
Gary, how about your first game, Gary?
I was in
Super
college,
Bowl one.
sat in the end.
Gary only goes to Super Bowls.
I see what you did there.
You were in.
I don't remember who it was against, but I do remember.
Because he was drunk,
passed out, puking on himself, and it wasn't me.
All right.
No, you don't puke. We've learned that. I don't think you could possibly puke. You just stumble.
I guess I'm the loser. 1976.
Loser.
He's in college.
You were part of the Spirit of 76.
1976, Monday Night Football against the New York Jets, Joe Namath.
Was there anything bad happened? Wasn't that in the era where Monday Night Football here was like going to Iraq?
There was a story. I don't know if someone
handcuffed them to the thing.
Someone fell off the top of the bleachers maybe that night. I don't know.
Is that that's, back when they had the cool halftime shows too, where they would do crazy stuff until like there were all the lawsuits?
Like what?
Well, didn't they have a parachuter come in but he missed, or another guy was supposed to like jump out of something?
I don't remember that, but this was one of the last Monday Night games there for a while. They didn't have too many more after that. They had a few.
76. How old were you?
8. And I do remember
Spirit
it was
76.
It was my brother's turn, because we used to, every time my grandfather got tickets, and every time my grandfather got tickets, usually it was to Red Sox games, but every time he got tickets, if he didn't get enough for both of us, we had to alternate. And it was my brother's turn to go to the, quote, next game. Well, he had football practice that night.
Boring!
my parents wouldn't let him skip football practice. I think it's hilarious.
Good for your parents.
Right. And it happened to be like an unbelievably cold night, and like 8 people showed up to football practices because it was so cold.
There are a lot of emails there because I just got into a fight with my wife over that.
I don't think Colin listens that much.
Why?
The next question.
Well, we'll get to that. I'm still doing my story here. 45-7.
Try to move
play
on.
Boring again.
Patriots win. Who is your all-time football hero? You can only say one.
Boom! Bledsoe does it again!
Bo Jackson.
Gary?
Bicycle.
Oh, I wasn't aware I'd be asked.
Why?
Well, then you don't have one if you can't.
I'm a big fan of Rodney.
We're a little shot, you know, here. You know?
Oh, Rodney. You can't pick a contemporary. You didn't have one when you were a kid?
Wasn't a huge football fan when I was a kid.
Yeah, if I'm going to go to, you know, growing up, I would probably say Joe Namath. Joe Namath or Roger Staubach, one of those two.
Just so you know, when you were telling the story about going in 76, remember how we were talking about Buck L. Kilroy and like amazement at all the stuff he lived through? I'm thinking, wow, mid-70s, you were like paying attention to football.
No, but I was too young to be.
Struggling.
You know what I remember? I remember there was a guy behind me. It was the first year of the Seahawks and the Buccaneers.
He grabbed his face.
And there was a guy behind me who bought a Tampa Bay Buccaneers pennant, and he kept waving it back and forth. The guy was bleep-faced the whole game. I mean, shocking as that may seem.
Did they go 0 for that season?
Yeah. Which one thing is the thing that you loved most about the game? I don't know.
Hitting.
I don't even know. Just everything. I liked everything
hitting.
About the game.
Oh, the specific game we went to or just the game of football?
Period.
Hitting. Contact. Violence.
I like the passing.
Figures.
I do.
What a softy he was. He was a soft-throwing left-hander. A safety who shied away from contact. What's that?
Well, this is an obit for Buck O'Kilroy, which I will read.
Does he have a real name?
Francis.
Oh, that's right. Lighten up, Francis.
Let's see. Eric is in Manchester, New Hampshire. He's next up.
Lighten up, Francis.
According to the latest ESPN The Mag, Carolina's new offense is a copy of the Patriots.
Jeff Davidson's the offensive coordinator.
With multiple formations, short passes, and well-designed downfield throws. How many other teams copy our offense, and do you think more and more teams will adopt our offense?
No. I think that's the way football works. Jeff Davidson worked here, trained here, went to Cleveland where he was with Romeo, so I'm sure they had some aspects of it there, and
Romeo
now he's on his own. I mean, it's just obvious. That's the way football works.
I was going to say it's the coaching tree that gets copied. It's not necessarily, you know, Joe Coach is going to say, wow, New England looks like they do it well. I'm going to copy them.
Right.
Coaches are too arrogant. They all have their systems.
Right.
And that's how it works is you learn a system under somebody. You know, that's why so many teams run the West Coast offense. Not because they look and they see some team does it well.
Right.
There's so many disciples of Bill Walsh.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, like those quotes. Were those in our paper where I was reading quotes about Hasselbeck talking about their offense and how, it was in the Globe, the Sunday Notes, and how Holmgren, he thinks, still calls some plays because he remembers they worked so good with the Packers and the 49ers. and Hasselbeck's like, we're not really the Packers or the 49ers, sort of questioning it, but that's how it works.
And defenses have kind of, you know,
and
changed.
Same thing in Pittsburgh, where they were talking about how Bill Cowher had plays in the playbook from years and years ago just because he liked them in the playbook. They hadn't called them in 4 years, but it's just the way it is. What guys know, what they get used to, is what they do. And that's why Jeff Davidson, I'm guessing, although I have heard a lot of good things about him, they seem to really like him as a coordinator down there. Now, obviously, that'll change if they're not winning football games or having success. And by the way, he lacks, as Dennis Green said, for anyone looking to copy the Patriots, Jeff Davidson lacks something that he needs to copy the Patriots.
The luck?
No, Tom Brady.
Yeah, the luck.
Well, yeah, the luck to get Tom Brady is, you know, how Dennis Green went with
right.
it.
Right. Fred in Montreal, not Fred in...
A?
Not Fred in the office upstairs, but Fred in Montreal.
A?
This is kind of funny.
A?
I sent you guys lunch last week, but I realized too late that there was no show. You see, in Canada, the 4th of July is only special meaning is that it's 10 days before my birthday.
Who's this, Fred?
Fred in Montreal.
Plus, on the exchange rate, he gets pork too, doesn't he?
I believe it's only fair that you guys owe me a lunch.
Hell no.
Well, better yet, tickets to a game. Now, that's not going to happen. But if you really did send us lunch, Frederick, last week, then we apologize. But we did say the week before that we wouldn't be here. But it was a very nice gesture on your part, nonetheless.
I'm sure the security guards enjoyed it.
On to the question. Do you think Patrick Pass will make the... Oh, just kidding. Keep the jokes rolling. You are the most entertaining show out there, including humor podcasts.
I can't believe he sent us lunch last week.
I think he really did. At first, I thought he was joking.
On the 4th of July.
But I do appreciate that, Frederick, and thanks for the kind words on the show.
And if you ever want to be emailer of the week, send lunch again.
All right. This is from Marcos.
Polos.
Good call, Andy. I started listening to the show during draft week.
Marcos! Jeez, that was a great game.
Doesn't he say, "I am the winner"? Do you have that clip?
Yeah.
Because I was last week, I was
he had this like look like he was going to say the most profound thing.
My God, I am the winner!
For some reason, that was stuck in my head last week, and I was saying it, and Deidre was getting so mad, and she goes, "What is that from? It's stupid!"
Oh my God, I am the winner!
All right, Marco says he started listening to this show during draft week. Tom, you rule, and since then, I'm a faithful listener. Objectively, you're the best.
Thanks.
Do you know if there is a way for us third world DBs? I'm not going to say that word because I don't like it.
They do say douche on regular TV.
I don't like that word.
I was watching a show last night. Oh, the How I Met Your Mother. And they said it. So a major network television. They said douche.
With the other word in
no.
the end? I think there's a difference.
Well, I just said douche. I didn't say the other word.
To follow the Pats this season.
The cat is out of the bag.
ESPN's coverage is pathetic here. One random Sunday game and Monday night.
Where is this?
Douchebag.
Argentina.
Yeah. And watch out for those Colombians.
And our only alternative, as far as we know, is the NFL Game Center. Do you guys broadcast during games or know of any way to at least listen to the games live? Keep up the good work. If the Argentine peso, or is it Argentine or Argentine? Anybody know?
I think teen.
Okay. Argentine peso was stronger. I swear I would buy you guys lunch.
Just don't send it on the 4th of July.
P.S. What is the point in bringing B-Lo and Paul's baby to the Roster Report podcast? We listeners don't want to hear incoherent mumbling on the background while you guys discuss. And Paul's baby added nothing to the show either.
Well done. What's his name?
Marcos.
Well done. Now, wait. You can get games online now, right? They changed that.
But do they have the video or just the audio?
Audio.
They have audio available now.
Right.
And I don't... Fred always answers this question. I never listen to him or pay attention to him.
And we are going to begin possibly adding some game stuff, right?
We are going to be blogging during games this year. Not in the sense that maybe some people are familiar with, but if there's pertinent stuff or some sort of observational... analysis, quick-hitting kind of things.
Fred swore.
If Fred swears in the press box or roots for another injury like he is wont to do, maybe Tom, Andy, or myself will put that up, but it's not going to be, you know...
first down, it's kind of...
Right, tough. First and 10 here, you know, like some...
And let's be honest, you can get that too. on game Center or whatever
on
Patreon.
You can watch the game book and know everything that's going on in the game.
But they do have audio.
You know, if... For example, last year in Cincinnati, this is just one that pops into my head, when we saw Josh Miller going to the locker room in the middle of the game, we'd blog that. You know, Josh Miller just left the sideline with medical personnel, went to the locker room. That may or may not have made it on the telecast. I don't know because I didn't watch the game.
Which at some point will cause us to write, Troy Brown jogged back from the locker room. Apparently, he had to go to the bathroom.
Right. So that's the kind of stuff that we're going to do, and we'll try to do that. We're going to try to add that to our coverage. Obviously, we're going to be
it's a lot of
also blogging during training camp.
Oh yes,
this year every day we'll
definitely
try to do that.
Obviously,
sorry. PJ next up. PJ is our good buddy in New Jersey. Just a quick thought about the defense this year. I have a feeling it may be a little bit worse than last year. I agree with your assessment that they will force more turnovers, but I think our losses from last year may outweigh our gains. We did add Adalis Thomas, which is huge, but that's basically where the additions end unless Merriweather can step up.
But where are our losses?
We got older at an old linebacker position. We may not have lost our best cornerback. We may have lost our best cornerback, and our best safety is about 150 years old. I also hate to say it, but Richard Seymour didn't have a Richard Seymour. I have an issue. I have a bubble. I got a little bubble.
Obviously.
Not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe, but I have a bubble. Richard Seymour did not have a Richard Seymour type year, and I hope that doesn't become a trend. I don't think it will matter much, as we should be able to put up a lot of points, but I like teams that the defense carries more than the offense. For the last 7 years, I have been telling Colts fans that defense wins championships, so I hope we don't have to consistently rely on our offense this year, although they should be extremely fun to watch. Finally, if you have noticed a spike in listeners over the last couple of weeks, it is because I have been telling everyone I know to listen to PFW in Progress because they have a former Division I AA kicker breaking down the team. I may start to lose these guys if you don't get he calls him Scalafini back, although they still get to laugh at Jake Steele.
James Randolph Scalafini.
And that is PJ. I'm not sure I would. I agree with all of the points that he made. I think the linebacker position was old. It got older, because of obviously 1 year, in addition. But I don't necessarily look at all of those things as losses on defense.
Right.
Do you?
No.
And I do think that Samuel will be back.
Right. That's the one I was going to say. We kind of just assume Samuel's going to be here because of the way we feel it's going to play out. But that's a big hole if he's not here. That changes that defense significantly because he was playing some very good football come the end of last year. But I still think they're going to be a good, if not great, defense. Well above the average in the league.
I think it'll actually be a better defense than last year. I'm not sure it'll give up fewer points.
Right.
But I think it'll be a better defense. Luis wants to know, he says that we have two first-round picks in the 2008 draft. Obviously, one is ours. Who is the other one?
San Francisco.
And he says, in other words, which team is Fred going to pick against every week in the picks contest?
San Francisco.
That would be the San Francisco 49ers on the draft day trade.
You will hear Fred
this year
laugh worldwide if Frank Gore gets hurt or Alex Smith
gets hurt. Which you know
right.
is
Something
that.
Will happen.
Let's see. Jay is next up. What if the Pats would trade Samuel for Briggs from the Bears? What's the latest on Samuel? I'm in Florida and don't get much gossip on going with the Patriots.
Well, there's not a ton of latest, quote-unquote, on Asante Samuel, but Lance Briggs has kind of said he didn't want to play here. You would have an abundance of linebackers at that point. Plus, he's looking for big money. You'd have to sign him to a big money deal. So I'm not sure it's the perfect fit for a number of reasons.
Phil is in Salt Lake City. He says, hey, A-Team and Andy.
Suck it, Phil.
What are the rules concerning a player declaring for the supplemental draft? What about this scenario? If you are a junior and an obvious high first-round pick, could you not declare for the draft and then declare for the supplemental draft, hoping to end up with a different team? Would that affect your player contract? For example, if Calvin Johnson really wanted to go to Oakland, he could have opted out, believing that Oakland would take a quarterback and then declare for the supplemental draft. Could he have done that? No, he could not. If you have a deadline as an underclassman to declare for the draft, and if you do not do so before that deadline, you're ineligible to do so. Correct, Andy?
As far as I know. But then he could be eligible for the supplemental draft.
Not as an underclassman.
If he was declared academically ineligible?
But he would still have eligibility left in college.
Right, so did Paul Oliver.
He was a junior?
He had a year. He has a year left. He was supposed to play this fall.
But that was as a senior. He would have been a senior, correct?
Right.
And he didn't declare for the draft. Well,
it would have been the same thing if Calvin Johnson didn't declare for the draft and then doesn't go to class all spring, gets declared academically ineligible. Trouble is, it would hurt your money.
You're right.
That's the biggest issue. It would hurt your money.
I guess it is.
The way it picked.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I guess that would be possible, but not a smart thing to do.
And it would also, I think, hurt your money. I don't think if you're projected to be a guy who's going to get $20, $30 million in upfront money at the top of the draft, I don't think you'll get that as a supplemental draft pick.
No, I agree.
So you may end up where you want to be, but you're costing yourself a lot of money. And I don't think you wouldn't have any guarantee you'd end up where you wanted to be either.
We had an email alert emailer, as Maddie in the Morning would say, write in saying, NFL Field Pass, live radio, all games on NFL.com. So, Marcos.
That's what I said.
NFL.com is the where you can find NFL Field Pass for all the games.
You got to pay for it, though.
Yes, you do. That is correct.
Ain't nothing free in this world.
Jay, next up, he says, great show so far.
He emailed at 12:01.
No, 1:12.
Oh, okay. Not bad.
I've been reading the ones that
you're doing a fine job, Paul.
Thank
you're
you
a
very
tremendous
much.
Host.
Except for
obviously.
Except for the bubble that obviously popped up and obviously the middle of an obvious sentence. I have to say, I am a Tom fan for my sins, but I am enjoying the show anyway.
I don't know what that means.
I don't really know what that means either. Just a quick question about tomorrow's supplemental draft. What do you guys know about Texas State's Mark Washington, who is eligible? He's probably not worth even a seventh-round pick, but he's lauded for his versatility, having played end, tackle, and linebacker in their scheme, and his profile seems to fit a developmental guy in Bill's system. Then they would sign him as an undrafted free agent. This is best I could see. If he wouldn't have been a seventh-round pick,
right?
Why would you waste a supplemental pick on him?
You get downgraded in the supplemental draft, first of all. So if you weren't going to be a seventh, you're certainly not going to be a seventh in a supplemental draft.
Finally,
I don't know much about the guy in general, but
I know you always dig at NFL Europe as being awful, but I was bored, in need of some sort of football the other night, and watched something much, much worse, the AFL. That game is downright terrible. It's meant to be exciting and high-scoring, but it gets to a point where touchdown after touchdown on hapless defensive backs gets a tad boring. I saw two running plays in an entire first half and got so bored of seeing a QB drop back on every play and throw wounded ducks everywhere that I turned that crap off. I guess I'll have to wait for the NCAA season to start to get my football fix, really. Keep up the great show, guys. That's Jay in the UK. That's in England, you know.
Thanks.
Okay.
I've never really gotten into AFL. I know I'd go
if
there
like
was
the
one
AFL.
Here.
I could probably be persuaded, like Andy says, to go to a game live.
I would
live.
Definitely go. But it's not football. It's a
different
sport.
It's kind of like hockey for me personally. I know a lot of people don't like hockey, but I think when you go to a hockey game, it's a pretty good take. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good event to watch in person. It's not a great game to watch on TV. At an arena game, maybe if you were in the stands, it might be a little bit more in terms of entertainment value. But
the other problem,
I agree with his point. It's boring watching.
You can't go
touchdown.
Into it looking for NFL type football or even college. It's a different game.
It's a totally different game.
I mean, that's like those film critics who go to a movie that Adam Sandler's in and they're looking for Casablanca. It's not the same thing. You go in with a certain understanding. You're going to see a certain sport. I think there are some interesting aspects of it, and yeah, I don't think it's a made-for-TV thing or really worth a lot of television viewership.
Alex checking in. Quick question from him. From a historical perspective, which team is the Patriots' biggest rival? You know, something like Dallas, Washington, or Chicago, Green Bay. What do you think?
I would say Miami.
See, I think Miami, too. I think a lot of other people would probably say the Jets.
Well, I don't think that goes back far enough, does it?
I don't know.
They had the 56-3, and they have had some notable games, but
I think
Miami.
The three division rivals, obviously, the biggest ones in terms of history.
But I think Buffalo would fall far behind.
Far behind the other two,
the other
in my
two.
Opinion. I don't think they've ever played Buffalo in a meaningful game, with the exception of 1963.
Now, the question would be, a lot of Patriots history in terms of a lot of important stuff has happened so recently, and the Jets have been a big part of that since Parcells in the mid-90s all the way through and now to Mangini, and they've been competitive more consistently over different times where they've fit. You know, they obviously last year they played in the playoffs. So more recently it's the Jets. But I just think looking all the way back to the Dolphins and the snowplow game and the 85 run to the Super Bowl and finally winning down there in Miami, and I think the Dolphins would edge it out a little bit.
I agree with Miami, but if I was going to use your theory, Andy, and talk about just the recent stuff with all the success, I would go to either the Colts or Pittsburgh.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't think they have anything before. At least the Patriots and Jets have been in the division for a while, and now it's sort of been put on a more national stage because of Tuna, because of Belichick, because of Mangini, because of playoff games, Curtis Martin, the Border War, all that crap in the last 10 years.
James in Roanoke Rapids says he was searching for something totally different in his files, and he happened to find the, quote, NFL team valuations from 2005 that he had saved off the Internet. It got me wondering, what is the most recent value of the Patriots? I checked it out and found out that in 2006, the Patriots surpassed the Cowboys in at least one thing. The Patriots are now worth at least $1 billion, more than the $174 million Mr. Kraft paid for them back in 1994. Also, if you notice, the Colts are nowhere to be found in the top 16 teams in both years. Yeah, there's a very good reason for that. The Colts play in a tiny little dome that generates no money. Right. That's why they're building a new stadium.
They'll have a huge jump as soon as that place opens.
But that's the biggest thing behind that is the pathetic stadium that they play in.
And by the way, the Cowboys will blow past the Patriots when they open their
palace
facility.
Facility. Doesn't even begin to tell the story. Let's see. Sean. Isn't that the Jets thing? Sean is in Orange, Mass. Any truth to the rumor, parentheses ESPN, that Asante is about ready to sign a tender under the franchise tag? Sorry, I just turned on the program if you guys have already covered this, and this was part of the whispers on the ESPN Insider that Gary hands me right now as we speak. When all is said and done, Patriots cornerback Asante Samuel will show up in training camp and sign his franchise tender. Well, it's basically, this says nothing.
Where does it come from? Like,
you know, the whispers around the NFL Pro Football Weeklies on the NFL Insider on ESPN.com?
Yeah.
That's what it's one of. You know, for example, there's two others here. With Brandon Stokley ahead of schedule in the rehab process following Achilles surgery and the coaching staff excited about second-year wide receiver Dominic Hixon, word out of Denver is that the declining 37-year-old Rod Smith could have a difficult time making it out of camp.
Really?
To then sign with the Patriots.
Right. So Bill can do his induction speech at the Hall of Fame. But this basically says what we've been saying all along,
right,
is that we feel like Asante at some point is going to realize it's better to just take the $8 million, or $7.79 million, that I have right now, come back, play, have a good year, and then write my own check for next year.
And that doesn't say about to sign, does it?
Nope. This says when all is said and done in training camp.
Right. So
it says there are whispers that when all is said and done, Asante Samuel will show up in training camp and sign his tender. Doesn't say he's about to sign it, like the emailer.
And just a little FYI, a lot of that Pro Football Weekly stuff is written by local scribes in the different markets, and those whispers come from just a guy who covers the team.
And just to add something, this whisper did not come from us.
No.
We are not one of the...
Other whispers could come from us.
I have an idea who it might have come from.
Yes.
But it did not come from us. Let's see here. Ryan, next up.
Hey, Ryan.
Ryan's another Gene Upshaw in the NFLPA guy here.
Where's Ryan from? I don't recall the name.
New emailer? Arlington, Virginia.
Oh, hey, Ryan.
He may be a new emailer. I don't know if I know this name. For my day job, I do some watchdog activities on labor unions.
Nice.
So I figured I would send over some quick stats given the recent interest in the NFL Players Association and Gene Upshaw.
Do any of these quick stats make us sound dumb?
We'll find out. Gene Upshaw received a salary from the union in 2006 of $4.2 million and has an expense account of $128,000.
Wow. I need one of those.
In addition, he is due a bonus from Players, Inc. of $3.6 million in 2007 alone. His contract runs through 2010. Lots of player reps are on the payroll, none from the Pats. The NFLPA has a net worth of a little over $183 million, mostly in investments, and they own two buildings in Washington, D.C. If it's clear this guy and his cronies are on the take from the union, and they live high on the hog. If I were a player, I would question where my $10,000 in annual dues must go.
Oh, and they do. I was there when one player in this Patriots locker room opened up. They get packages like three times a year with stuff from the NFLPA. Usually has a bag, some shirts, different things. And he opens it up. First of all, didn't know what the bag was because it was one of those weird all-purpose bags that wasn't like a backpack that was obvious it's a backpack or a computer bag. And he said, 10 grand, and this is what I get? This is all I get for 10 grand? This place is ridiculous.
Very interesting. Interesting. But those numbers were even higher, by the way. The base salary was the same, but the number from Players Inc. was even higher.
And I'm pretty sure he owns Players Inc. It's one of those shady deals where it says Players Inc. pays, and you look down the line, and he's at the top of the list and the bottom, paying the check and receiving the check.
But the bottom line is the guy makes more than twice what the other guys in the other three major professional sports make.
I got to tell you, the guy I think does a good job for his players, because there's millions of guys I've never heard of making like $8 million a year, is the NBA guy.
Billy Hunter, without question.
People might hate the system because of the way it works. When you have a guy named Andre Ivanisevic or something, is he a tennis player, making like $8 million a year for the next 6 years?
Iguodala.
To average 3.2 points per game and 1.1. I was just bringing up a name. But there's so many of those guys that you scratch your head and say, he makes $6 million a year?
There are more guys in the NBA, in my opinion, than I've never heard of making $5-plus million a year.
Ridiculous.
Than any other sport.
It's so backwards.
But even, and Fred argued with me about this in hockey. And we had another case in point. He was saying hockey players don't make that kind of money. Sidney Crosby's 19 years old. He just signed a $46 million extension.
Right.
Believe me, they're making the money in hockey, too.
Right.
In other words, my point is, it's not a show of strength from the player union chief based on the amount of millions the players are getting. They're getting that because they're great players.
Right.
And that is what it costs to have a great player in any sport nowadays. That's just what it is.
I got to tell you, not to get off on a whole tangent here, I think the baseball system is the fairest in some of the ways it works, because old guys get paid a lot of money, whereas
you get paid
in the NFL,
for what you have done, not what you're about to
do. And some guys get screwed early on, a Kevin Youkilis who's batting 320 and making $300K, a Jonathan Papelbon making $300K, but he'll get paid down the line.
The only risk for those guys is injury.
Right. But you have some of that everywhere.
But that's where the NBA and the NFL would argue, if you're a Jonathan Papelbon, not so much a Kevin Youkilis, but a Jonathan Papelbon, high draft pick, you get your money before you play. So if you get injured, it stinks, and you lose money.
Right, but
at least you got a lot of money.
To me, the NFL is the worst, where the old guys seem to get screwed the most.
That's the way I look at it.
Literally have guys in the top five draft picks guaranteed $25 million they put on a set of NFL pads.
I would rather a system that rewards players for what they have done rather than what they potentially might do.
I mean, Joe Thomas is going to get 20-something million dollars guaranteed, whereas Stephen Neal may not make that in his entire career, and in my mind, Stephen Neal right now is on the verge of being a Pro Bowl offensive lineman.
He's a far better player right now than Joe Thomas.
But he may never make half of what Joe Thomas makes, and Joe Thomas may suck, maybe out of the league in 4 years.
Right. Now, 5 weeks into the season, we might say, wow, now we see why Joe Thomas was taken with the second overall pick.
But he's not making that much less than
the third overall
Walter
pick,
Pace. I mean, Orlando Pace or Walter Jones, the guys who had proven over
Walter Pace, I like that.
Over a long period of time that they were great at his position.
All right, before we head back upstairs to end this show, the Patriots have released a short little obituary for Francis Bucko Kilroy. I want to just read it here from the Patriots Media Relations Director, Stacey James. Francis Joseph Bucko Kilroy, age 86, a former New England Patriots general manager, died July 10th at Norwood Hospital. Is it Caritas or Caritas? How do you pronounce that?
Caritas.
Norwood Hospital.
Knows.
He was the son of the late Francis J. and Agnes Sheehan Kilroy. Bucko was born in Philadelphia on May 30th, 1921.
I told you.
And was a graduate of, we knew he was 86, of North Catholic High School in Philadelphia. After high school, he proudly served his country in the Merchant Marines during World War II. He was a graduate of Temple University in Philadelphia. Bucko and his wife, Jane, were married in Oklahoma on March 6, 1972. They have been Foxboro residents for the past 37 years. Bucko began his playing career in 1943 with the wartime combined team of the Eagles and Steelers.
See, I love that. Can you imagine two teams merging today to play?
He was a six-time All-Pro guard for the Philadelphia Eagles during a 13-season playing career during the 40s and 50s. After his playing career, he worked in player personnel and scouting for the Eagles, Washington Redskins, and Dallas Cowboys. He was also one of the founders of the National Football Scouting Combine. He was the Patriots' general manager from 1979 to 1982 and vice president from 83 to 93. He has been a scouting consultant for New England for the past 13 years. Bucco was the beloved husband of Jane Kilroy, loving father of Patricia Bojanowski of New Jersey, Bernadette Shipley of Arizona, Karen Michael of Virginia, Dorothy Bonner of Pennsylvania, Gregory Kilroy of Pennsylvania, Elizabeth Kilroy of Georgia, and Mary Catherine Kilroy of Foxborough.
He almost made it to a full offense.
And the late Francis, Joseph, and John Kilroy.
Oh, how many are there?
Let's count those all up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Three of which are deceased.
He almost made it to a half of a football team.
Brother of Suzanne King of Pennsylvania, Joseph Kilroy of New Jersey, and Mary Pogash of Pennsylvania, and the late William Kilroy. He was also survived by many grandchildren and many great-grandchildren. And thank you, New England Patriots Media Relations Department, for not naming all those individually. This is probably the most important element in case anybody is interested. Relatives and friends are kindly invited to attend calling hours on Monday, July 16th, from 2 to 4 p.m. and 7 to 9 p.m. at the Roberts & Sons Funeral Home, 30 South Street in Foxborough, Mass. A funeral mass will be celebrated on July 17th at 9 a.m. at St. Mary's Church in Foxborough. To light a candle in Bucco's memory, please visit the funeral home's website at robertsandsonsfuneralhome.com, all one word. For additional information, please contact Roberts & Sons Funeral Home at 508-543-5471. Donations in Bucco's memory may be made to St. Mary's Church, 83 Central Street, Foxborough, Mass., 02035. I'll repeat that. St. Mary's Church, 83 Central Street, Foxborough, Mass., 02035. A great man and a very, very integral part of the Patriots organization virtually throughout its entire existence. Bucco Kilroy, dead at 86, but not forgotten. What did you get else over there? You're just nodding your head a lot. Anything else to add?
No. And look out for a tremendous story on Bucco Kilroy.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
As I said, he covers that span, and there's so many things that you say, wow, that's interesting. You know, played right for the Eagles/Steelers.
And I don't know what Gordon, I emailed with Gordon a little bit this morning. I don't know what he's planning on doing. I'm hoping that he would pass along some anecdotes and some specific stories that might shed some light and kind of, like you said, Andy, something that sounds interesting. Maybe he
had a little color.
Maybe he adds some color to it and really tells a good story. I know they were very friendly during their time together, and they worked together in the past. But keep an eye out on Patriots.com. And again, in the training camp preview issue, which will be hitting newsstands in about 2.5 weeks for Patriots Football Weekly. But until next week, and by the way, for those of you interested, we will not be going to our daily show format until the regular season starts. So we're still in weekly mode for another couple of months here. So stick with us. Next Wednesday, PFW in Progress will return, presumably with the entire cast minus Andy. You won't be here, right?
Why?
I thought you weren't going to be here next week.
Oh, yeah, I'm on vacation.
Well, thanks. I'll make sure. You also have a...
Obviously.
You also have a gig coming up tomorrow. Don't forget about
that.
Oh,
yeah, don't let me forget that.
On 790 The Score in Providence. Gary, that'll put a wrap on the show today. Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, we'll see you next week.
About the trail you left, broken hearts. About the sea of tears too wide to cross. Though bad press has another scare.